everybody. Bill Buckminster with you. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, those early morning rains that we had for two straight days kind of spoiled me. I woke up today and it was like kind of more of a typical, deep blue sky.
Sounds like the title of a tune. Early morning rain?
In the early morning. No, I won't sing like Dr. David Levy did yesterday.
I guess I was grooving too much on your music here. I'll get it under control.
It's Buckminster, Friday, August 5th, 2022. Our radio station, 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we are now, pushing toward 12 full years with our radio project after 34 years in TV and radio. We have worldwide live listening, TV and radio in Tucson. It's a lot more like 55 if you think about the whole communication business. But that's another story. The Buckminster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our media partners, people who support our program by putting the Buckminster Show logo and a live link to all of our podcasts. Dylan Smith, thanks, Dylan, at TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks, Dan Shear, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group. They have a portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. And I'll tell you another great supporter for our program have been the Arizona Daily Star, kind of the paper of record here in the Tucson area, because we utilize quite a few of the Star people, and one of them is one of their stars, Tim Steller, who is with us in studio today. Tim, Arizona Newspaper Association Journalist of the Year, 2019 Arizona Press Club Columnist of the Year winner. Tim, how are you?
I'm great.
It was a nice trip you had over to Europe, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Just, you just start to kind of get away and relax, and it's time to come home.
Yeah. When you're it feels like that no matter how long a trip is. If you take a 3-day vacation, you want a 4-day vacation.
Yeah,
if you take 2.5 weeks, you want 3.5 weeks.
Anyway, we've got Congressman Grijalva walking in the door any moment. But before he does, Arizona Republic said, hey, it's a gift from heaven, the Republican slate with Carrie Lake at the top. But the Republic also points the Dems could still blow it.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a be careful what you wish for situation. The Dems, wanted, when they knew Carrie Lake was, when they knew Katie Hobbs was their own front runner, they knew that Carrie Lake would be the more preferable challenger, as opposed to Karen Robeson Taylor, who was more
Republican establishment. Use that word. But
corporate Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, so they got what they wished for, but who knows? Who knows how it's going to turn out? Nobody thought Trump was going to win. Ever since then, we never really know what's going to happen.
You got Blake Masters.
Yeah.
Young guy.
Yeah. I mean, I've been interested in him, intrigued by him from the time he got into the campaign for two main reasons. One, he's a Tucson person. So, I mean, side note here, we have, once again, Tucson versus Tucson in the general election. We have Tucson and Mark Kelly versus Tucson and Blake Masters. So that's nice. And then separate from that, I find Masters intriguing because, of course, he is a Peter Thiel acolyte.
Having the PayPal guy?
PayPal is, I guess, Thiel, where he made his first big money.
Thiel is PayPal, yeah, I think.
And all kinds of other entities. Yeah, it was the first one. He was also one of the initial investors in Facebook. Palantir Technologies was a more recent company, and on and on. He's a billionaire. Billionaire Trump supporter. So
then you got Fincham, a rabid Stop the Stealer.
Also Tucsonan, well, Oro Valley guy. Mm-hmm. He would probably hate to be attached to Tucson, but yeah, he's an Oro Valley resident. And that matchup is going to be, it's actually in some ways wonderful because you have Fincham, who is a Stop the Steal advocate, versus and he's Representative Mark Fincham of Oro Valley, been in the legislature like 8 years now. claims everything has been stolen and gummed up. I mean, he's made lots of unsubstantiated or unfounded claims about election fraud.
Doesn't he want every election to be all paper ballots?
Well, they are. I mean, we do use paper ballots, but you're talking about...
Did I get this screwed up?
Well, I think the difference that you're referring to is probably that he wants... As I recall, I'll correct myself if I look it up and find differently. He and many others of his ilk want there to be one election day, back to the system where it's one election day, votes cast only on that day by hand and counted by hand. That's the part I find incredible because people cannot count ballots as accurately or as fast as machines. So anyway, that's one of the so-called reforms Fincham would like. And now he's running against Adrian Fontes, who is a Nogales person originally, so another Southern Arizona connection, and was the Maricopa County recorder for the last election.
We'll pick up that conversation. And then there's the attorney general race. You got Abe Hamaday. He only graduated from law school like 4 or 5 years ago. But he's up against Chris Mays, and we've known Chris, I have known Chris forever. She even started her career up at the Arizona Republic.
Yep.
I think Dan Scheer worked with her. Anyway, Congressman Raul Grijalva has come into the studio. Congressman Grijalva, a Democrat representing the newly redrawn District 7, which includes the western half of Tucson, runs all the way west to Yuma, north into the Phoenix western suburbs, south to Nogales. Congressman Grijalva, the chair of the House Natural Resources Committee, first elected in 2002. Boy, do I remember that race. Congressman, I actually hosted the debate with Congressman Grijalva and a million other candidates. Before winning national office, he served 12 years on the TUSD Governing Board, 15 years on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He faces off in November against Republican small business owner Luis Pozzolo, who immigrated to this country in 2003 from Uruguay and became a U.S. citizen 10 years ago. How are you doing, Congressman?
I'm doing well, thank you, and apologize for the tardiness.
We had a nice conversation with Tim. It's fine.
Our good law enforcement was doing its duty and they did an in-traffic stop, and they backed everything up one lane, and here we are.
All right. Here we are, Congressman, another election cycle. I've known you for 34 years. That's a ton of election cycles. If elected, what about the next two-year term? What would go into your decision to make that one, like to call it quits? What are some of the things that would go into that decision?
I think what would go into that decision would be on a personal level, you know, not having, not feeling that I have the drive for it, mm-hmm. or that that it's in the realistic decision that all people have to make when they retire, that it's that's the time, and you know that decision being as much personal as it is political, but it has overlap, obviously. And but I think what worries me the most and would be quite a challenge going forward is the thing that you and Tim were talking about. I think there's a very real fundamental threat to our democracy. I have been in the minority party more than I've been in the majority party in my career in Congress, and that's not a good place to be. But you know, the thought of insurrection, the thought of voiding elections because it didn't go my way, the thought of disrupting a government to the point that it can't function, those were never part of the agenda and never have been. But they've become very much a part of the agenda now, and that concerns me. I think the races here in Arizona have particular residents across the country. You have primary deniers of the 2020 election.
At the top of the ticket.
At the top of the ticket, and for the very sensitive and in our state, the second in the line of succession, Secretary of State, and those two positions plus the others, but those two are going to be bellwether for a lot of things, and I think the part of the decision will be on our sense of democracy. I don't, you know, it's not about agreeing with me. it's about, you know, that we have rules of disagreement. We have rules of engagement in the political process and in our electoral process. And once those are voided, changed, and constricted, then we don't have a functional democracy. And that's what worries me the most. It came closer than people think. To that, not only leading up to January 6th, but after. And I don't see, I see that as a significant a political issue, but more importantly, a very fundamental issue that's at stake in this coming election.
All right, so here in Arizona, and you still enjoy your work, is the bottom line, right?
Yeah, I think, I think I've gotten better with time, and I'm not as shrill as I used to be, but I'm equally as committed to the things that I've told people that I stood for. And one of the things that we're telling people in this re-election effort of mine is that I did my job, good, bad, or indifferent. I was sent there with an agenda that I promoted. And in the House of Representatives, and certainly in the Resources Committee, we passed those pieces of legislation. What, as they flounder in the Senate, or no action is taken, that is regrettable. But all the issues around protecting our democracy, investing in the American people, health care, controlling inflation and the cost, those have all passed from the House, and I'm proud of that work, and I can comfortably say to the voters that I did my job, right. and others need to do theirs.
Let's bring in our friend Tim Steller.
So you've been the chair of the Natural Resources Committee for, what, 4 years now?
Yep.
I mean, that makes all the difference, doesn't it, in terms of having a sense of accomplishment or power in the House of Representatives, to not only be in the majority but also to be the chair of a committee?
Yeah, and it's something that I worked really hard to reach that chairmanship. I was ranking member when we were in the minority. And, I think it is a difference is that you set policy and you set the agenda. When you're in the minority, you react to the agenda. In the majority, you act on the agenda. And that's the big difference, and it's all the difference in the world.
So I've been looking through some of the press releases and emails your team has put out lately. They're not mostly related to natural resources. There's codifying marriage equality. There's voting to reinstate the assault weapons ban. So what is top on your priority list right now?
Climate, education. And I think the issue of the transition. I mean, like it or not, and that ties into education. And it ties into job security for the American people. It ties into cost of living. And that is that we're gonna go through a transition. And I see these all interconnected. The transition is going to be in a reaction to climate. And the transition can be very, very painful, because we're forced to do things in order to retain some sustainable living and to react to the crisis. And those will be painful and costly. Or we can talk about a transition to move in a direction that begins to deal with the climate crisis and move off fossil fuels and move off the polluting elements that are causing the planet to heat. or we can stay there as long as we possibly can and then deal with a real crisis that's going to be very expensive. They all tie together. They tie to poverty, they tie to climate, they tie to education, they tie to investment, they tie quite frankly, into the future. I think, the biggest priority, because it's all those three are tied together.
That veterans benefits bill passed, right, that you were co-sponsor of that, that was really deplorable to do that to our veterans, to deny them health care.
You know, there are things in which, there are issues out there in which, you know, 70-80% of the American people feel that that's the direction. You know, lowering pharmaceutical costs being one, having to be over 18 in order to get an assault rifle, and the list goes on. Doing something about border security, but also immigration reform, majority of the American people, and the list goes on. But they've become, you know, like the mm-hmm. veterans that suffered from the exposure to those burn pits, they become fodder in this this gridlock.
And then nothing gets done. They become the fodder, and then it's a stalemate.
And, you know, controlling price gouging, doing those things, every single Republican voted against it in the House. And so everything becomes a, not just a party, almost an ideological difference, regardless. And I think that's to the detriment, you know, the whole thing of bipartisanship is now considered if you have three Republicans or three Democrats voting for a bill.
Yeah.
And that's when I began this career of mine, and I happen to have had the great opportunity to work with and argue with Jim Colby. And I learned a lot from him. It's, first thing is, if you're going to debate Jim Colby, you need to be ready. Mm-hmm. First time I did, he cleaned my clock. Second time it was a little more even, but when it came to things to bring into the constituents of Southern Arizona, that was not an issue. When it came to things that where there could be a meeting of the minds and a compromise, that was not an issue. You don't, that middle ground is disappearing.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that makes the work even more difficult, and that's why it makes majorities even more important.
All right, we're long past the break, but Matt called us at 790-2040. Matt, I don't want to hold you through the break, so go ahead with a water-related question, and then we will have
we'll
take a short break after the congressman responds. Go ahead.
Well, first, I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to the Congress and Congressman Grijalva. As an Iraq veteran who, you know, walked daily in those burn pit ashes, it was like snowfall every single week for sure, and you just walked around it 24/7. You ran in it when you had to do PT and everything. Anyway, thank you so much for passing that legislation on behalf of every veteran. Arizona, sir, is obviously facing its own climate-related issue,
yep,
an existential crisis regarding water. The state legislature and the governor passed $1 billion. Most of that will probably go to just conservation activities. What we need is a long-term solution, and it's going to take something very creative to replace Colorado water in some way. Is there any chance that, you know, we could look at a salination plant on the Pacific Coast in California? I think that's where it should be, and as a possibility. I don't think, you know, people talk about Mexico and as a possibility too, but I don't think that's going to be functional. Thank you.
Okay, desalinization is,
yeah, you know, I think it's a terribly expensive process, and efforts in the past, including the one in Yuma, haven't produced the quantity or the quality. But in water legislation that's been passed and infrastructure legislation, desalination is part of it. To make an investment, I think the region that you talked about, as well as other regions, to really look at it and to some extent patterning it after Israel has done in terms of its water desalination projects, and see how that goes. But I think the fundamental issue that we have here in Arizona with the drought first of all, I think it's a natural emergency that we're going through, and our effort is to try to get FEMA and others to respond to it like they do to other natural catastrophes. But more importantly than that, we have to look at usage as well. And I don't think that's happening. And I think people are going about as though things are not going to change. But usage, the amount of usage, and who uses it, and what's the value gained from that usage, I think are going to become important questions. Right now, everybody's trying to pretend that conservation and potentially down the road concepts like desalination are going to solve the problem. The immediate problem is that this drought continues to. The water levels continue to drop, and Arizona and that everybody in the basin states depend on the Colorado River. I think there is much more urgency to that planning than is being demonstrated right now.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Congressman Raul Grijalva with us. Tim Stiller, you'll be up to the plate with a follow-up. I think you've got something on water. Did you want to follow up on that with water after the break?
Sure.
Or you got something else? All right, we'll take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition, in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Tim Stiller is here, award-winning Tucson columnist with the Arizona Daily Star, And Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us in studio as well. Tim, why don't you kick off this segment?
Well, yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying about desalinization. I was thinking about all the contradictory factors we have to deal with. Obviously, like we're a poor, a relatively poor city, we're a slightly poor state. So we want to attract industry, we want employment. All that takes water. We want growth, at least on the economic front. That requires ever more water. And yet, of course, we can't afford to be, using up more and more water on an ever-growing population. At the same time, you know, we have dwindling supplies. So anyway, my main point here is how do you resolve these contradictions?
I don't know how. I think the issue is that in these water discussions, who's at the table? That's always, to me, it struck me. And the interest of, you know, there's a consumer base that's not well represented in at the table. There is there's an environmental side that's not well represented at the table. What's represented at the table is industry, real estate, mining, and all there, and the projections are always, it's never about, there's two analyses, and one analysis that isn't done. What do we need to maintain where we're at? Okay, and what? So current demand versus projected demand, okay? And I think projected demand is where the discussion has to occur. And so what are the priorities for the state? And I understand the economic dependencies. I understand that real estate, home building is a significant part of our economy. I understand that you balance that with tourism and the other things, but I understand the extraction industry is a vital part, a part of this agriculture in the Yuma area in particular. And so how do you accommodate those usages? I think that one of the things is that to make sure that we're talking to the same number, you know, that some areas are exempt from any verification as to water availability.
You're talking about groundwater pumping?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, and it seems to me that the state's 100-year assured, I mean, they handles out like paper money. And so factually, the projections are not that we're going to somehow miraculously climb back to where we were. And conservation will do a significant part, but it's not going to be the key. There are policy changes, requirements, and other things that are not part of it, because we've had a lax attitude about that, because, you know, water is the key to our growth. And if we want to maintain a level of growth going forward, we got to look at those other factors. I don't think that's the problem, that the decisions are being made by a particular interest, and the interest that is going to have received the biggest impact is going to be a consumer-based, population-based side of this question. I don't think they're there.
All right. Roberta has called us at 790-2040, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Roberta, you're up with Congressman Grijalva.
Thank you. It seems to me that if the federal government can step in and help other countries in distress, they should step up and help build a desalination plant. Because what in the world is more important than water? And water produces food, and we can't get along without it. And we tend to wait too long to address things.
That's for sure. Go ahead, Congressman.
I appreciate the question, because, you know, that question is sometimes posed as an either-or question. Either you are involved in internationally, is always the point, in helping other nations through their crisis, the current one being Ukraine, or you take those resources and put and they remain here in the United States. I don't think that can be an either or question. I think, you know, we're a globe now, interconnected in so many ways. And the leadership role that the United States has to play on a national, on an international stage is something that I don't think we should relinquish. On the domestic front, you know, I think that I agree with you that we need to invest in the resources that pay back, and whether it's desalination, more policies to protect water in this state and across this country, infrastructure that actually works right. All those things can be done and should be done. An investment in the American people is not. Does not mean that we close the door behind us.
Richard has just sent me a question for you, Congressman. You haven't talked yet about the draconian attack on women from the Supreme Court.
I think that what happened in Kansas with that referendum and the across political and ideological and philosophical lines, people voted to protect their personal rights, and they voted to protect a woman's personal rights. I think that's why this election is important in terms of democracy. That you know, the capacity for a Senate and a House to pass legislation that undoes recent Supreme Court decisions, I think now becomes a bigger and bigger factor in terms of who's your representative in the Senate and the House. It really does.
Tim.
And I think that's one avenue, but yeah, it wasn't just draconian. It was the attack on women by the Supreme Court in terms of their personal rights and their prerogatives to make decisions regarding their own body was an assault, I think, on the fundamental rights of Americans across the board.
Okay, Tim, quickly.
Are there changes happening in the politics of that issue, especially on the Republican side, in light of the results in Kansas, where people, you know, roundly rejected removing protections for abortion rights? In other words, do you think there's any possibility that some Republicans will decide that it's in their interest, at least, to vote to preserve or extend reproductive rights?
I think the Republican Party, and by allowing the more extremist element to control their message and their agenda, are way deep in the big muddy on that issue. How they retract themselves, I think, is going to become questions of personal courage by individual members of Congress. But as a party, I think they've decided that the dive is to join up and do the Trump shuffle one more time, uh-huh. and in doing that, I think they put themselves on this issue and on a lot of other issues in a place that they can't get out of.
All right, we have two callers and about 3 minutes left in the segment, so we're going to go really quickly. Kay is up first. Kay, you're with Congressman Grijalva.
Thank you. I'm wondering about energy independence and this whole rush to move into renewable energy when we're not even ready for all that to happen. For example, how are we going to have enough electricity for electric vehicles? And I'm just wondering if Representative Grijalva has an electric vehicle himself, and what he thinks about all the energy independence and electric vehicles and so forth.
No, I don't have an electric vehicle. But having said that, I think that I mentioned earlier, there's going to be a transition. And I don't think that transition needs to be painful and hurtful to the American people, to the consumers, and to workers. But it's a transition that's going to happen. I think as we see the consequences of not doing anything about climate, then it's going to become more urgent. And when it is, and when action is taken to try to do something, it'll be painful to consumers, painful to the economy, and painful to workers. And so what I'm saying is that we're going to go to that transition. And yes, in that transition, you have to sustain a level of energy production that's going to require some level of dependency on natural gas and some lowering level of fossil fuels. Yes.
Okay.
Everybody knows that. It's how long this transition takes, and the shorter it is, the more painful it'll be. So all I'm talking about is a transition that accommodates what's going to happen anyway and accommodates it with time as opposed to doing it with a lot of pain.
All right, we've actually picked up another caller, so I want to work both these in and basically out of time. Ray, go ahead, has a comment about Water Compact. And if Congressman, if you'd keep your answer as tight as possible here. Okay, go ahead, Ray.
Now, the old Water Compact is basically unfair to most of the states, especially to Arizona, and really lean toward California. My question is, why hasn't there been a new Water Compact, which should be a federal priority? And what bills have you presented to protect Arizona water rights during all your terms of service?
Okay.
We were involved very much so because they had to go through my committee, almost all water legislation goes through the committee. We have been involved everything from water settlements to the effort that is ongoing right now and the money that was allocated with the five basin states to do something about it. I agree that the compact and where we go forward is going to be important. It's how you Utah is attempting to break the compact at this point, or at least they're talking about it, their legislature. But right now that compact is binding unless you break it, and the issue is to me is there's going to have to be a basin wide plan, and that is where the federal government takes over specific pieces of legislation. I can't give you the HRs, but it's not something that we haven't put effort into, and it's not something that we don't have legislation and appropriations to that degree to those areas. But, you know, this is not something that I can tell you is something that is going to go away. The urgency is there, and we're urging and we've urged the Bureau of Reclamation, Army Corps of Engineers, and the people responsible in Interior for water, the Colorado River, that urgency is going to require a reexamination of all the policies and the allocations going forward.
Okay, here. Your managing quarterback, Bill Buckmaster, I think I can work in one more quick call. And then I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, then Congressman, stick around, okay? And Tim's going to talk a little bit about the election. You'll be free to join in. How's that sound like a plan? Okay, let's go to Bill real quickly, Bill in Oro Valley, about desalinization.
Hey, Congressman, am I on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, the Mexicans in the Sonoran State have a huge agribusiness enterprise there. They're in the same water boat that we are in Arizona. Would you be in favor, you mentioned desalinization, would you be in favor of a desalination scheme from the Baja that splits the water and provides for the Mexicans as well as Arizona?
Okay, what about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, part of the Colorado also involves treaty obligations that we have with the Nation of Mexico. And I think that a bilateral agreement on both water use, conservation, and potential desalination is probably the smartest and most effective cost and not only the cost but also the benefit of that. And I think that's and you can't do it without engaging directly with the Nation of Mexico, insofar that we have a treaty, and that agreement, I think, needs to be looked at, and certainly that could be parts of it. But yes, it's got to be bilateral with the Nation of Mexico. Otherwise, the effect will not be what we want it to be, and the benefit won't.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Back with a couple of closing remarks right after this with Congressman Grijalva and Tim Steller.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us. Tim Steller from The Star. Only about a two-minute segment here before we have Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Congressman, does this Trump-backed denier slate at the top of the ticket make things easier for Democrats in the fall?
Not necessarily. I think it has to be a robust voter contact campaign that everybody has to run. But beyond that, there has to be a common theme. And I think there's a common theme around the defense of a democracy, people's rights and personal liberties and rights and the voice that they have in a democracy through voting. I think it can be a very, very important contrast that voters, regardless of their political persuasion, are going to look at who's serious and who is going to protect my personal rights and my right to vote. I think Democrats, if they have a common theme, they can do very well.
Here's Tim Steller for a final question.
Quick question on the Inflation Reduction Act, which has been the big breakthrough in the U.S. Senate. apparently Senator Sinema just agreed to support it if they get rid of change to the carried interest tax loophole, which helps hedge fund managers and such, as well as an increase in changing an increase in business taxes and sending some drought money here. Two big questions. What do you think about those changes, and what are you, when do you all deal with it in the House?
The drought money, we all supported. All the Dems in the delegation supported that, and I'm glad that's going to be in there. That we thought it was insufficient what was in the original. Second, on exempting, and I don't support that. But we're going to get a yes or no vote on whatever the Senate comes up with on Friday. And my inclination, pending me reading whatever has been added on by the Senate, and it's usually not good, that, you know, I intend to support it. It's, you know, it's a 25% of a loaf that we sent over there in terms of a full package, but it is action that the country needs right now. Yeah, I support it, but, reducing the revenue flow at the expense of regular folk and regular taxpayers, I don't think that's a good strategy, but, you know, Sinema holds a lot of cards right now.
Congressman Grijalva, thanks for coming in. Good to see you. Thank you, sir. All right. We're going to take a break right here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's coming up. Tim Steller, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
What's your column on about Sunday?
I think I'm going to take a look at that precise thing, the Inflation Reduction Act and the changes required to get it through the Senate.
I'll be reading it. And I hope others will as well. Thanks a lot. We'll take a break. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell next. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
All righty. I am ready for the weekend. I don't know about you, but Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive. Not a bad drive at all. Over to Silver City, a very pleasant place, about 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. Yes, it's rained a lot over there. The green, the Gila National Wilderness looking very green. Temperatures very moderate. So it's a perfect time of year to start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for great places to stay, and there are some really good places and all sorts of recreation opportunities. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, you know, it's the weekend, so I'm doing a little bit of shaking, a little bit of stirring. I mean, what else should I be doing on a Friday, right?
Well, let's get ready for a happy hour, buddy.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, Riley Craft Pizza and Drink is celebrating their first anniversary of their Oro Valley location over on Oracle and Ina this week, and they have announced that they've expanded their service beyond dinner to include both lunch and, as you said, happy hour for the very first time. That new lunch includes some favorites from the dinner menu, and to that they've added a selection of premium sandwiches, and their new happy hour features a rotation of classic cocktails plus snacks, all at discount prices. So stop by Riley North this weekend and wish them a happy first birthday.
How about some smoking barbecue, my buddy?
Oh, you are singing my song, Brother Bill. You know how much I love barbecue, and I take my smoking seriously, which is why I'm excited to share that Arizona Grill and Hearth, near the intersection of Speedway and Columbus, they're going to be hosting a barbecue and smoking 101 class tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 3. This is a hands-on class where you're going to learn about all different types of smokers and different woods, and you'll get to smoke some baby back ribs, some pulled pork, tri-tip steaks, and chicken. And the best part, you'll get to eat and take home all your finished work. So the six-hour class is only $100, and that includes all of that magnificent meat. So don't be late for class tomorrow at Arizona Grill and Hearth.
Being the excellent time manager I am, Matt Russell, I can actually take all three of your Weekend Watch picks. In fact, right now I picked up so we can go into a kind of an anniversary celebration.
Absolutely. Now, can you believe, Bill Buckmaster, it's been 20 years since the first Guadalajara Grill opened in Tucson. It's amazing to me. Now, Tucson's titans of tableside salsa are rotating their celebrations across all of their Tucson locations over the next three weekends, and it all starts tomorrow night from 5 to 9 at their location in the Arizona Pavilions. I'm talking salsa, margaritas, signature cuisine, live music. They got some jumping castles, local vendors, giveaways, and all that. This needs to be on your weekend calendar for sure. It promises to be a fiesta like none other.
Hey, Matt, what about Iron Chef? Do we have a new Iron Chef? Could you tell our list, give us an update?
Absolutely. It was an exciting moment in local culinary history. The new Iron Chef Tucson is the chef and owner of Dante's Fire. His name is Ken Foy, and I am telling you, he wowed the panel of judges and the nearly 1,000 people who turned out for the event. Wendy Gauthier from Chef Chic gave him really intense competition. I think the tally was very close, but Ken Foy will celebrate his own reign for the next year as our local Iron Chef.
Matt, you've been spending some time this summer on both coasts. I know you love being by the ocean, as do I. When folks ask you, Matt Russell, for a seafood recommendation here in town, could you give our listeners a couple of hints?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if when you're thinking about good seafood, fresh seafood, you might right at the top of the list, I always go to Kingfisher. You know, they're one of the old tried and true restaurants right there on Grant and Tucson Boulevard. And so I also like El Baraco over there on First Avenue. It's the building that kind of looks like an old submarine, a shiny silver submarine. It's the same guy that owns BK's Tacos, and they really dish out some really wonderful and fascinating takes on seafood. So between the two, you're going to get the freshest catch available. I love those restaurants.
Yeah, I love the Kingfisher. Of course, it used to be the Iron Mask over there on Grant, and that's where Ann and I had our first date over there.
Oh, Bill, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And they still have the old iron mask bar stools at the
bar. They do. That was the first date back in May of 1967. When we saw the Doors out at High Corbett Field. Anyway, I'm out of time. Speaking of Mr. Time Manager, have a great weekend, Matt. Thank you very much.
To you too, Bill. Thanks.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications LLC. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.